thing you can get.
Oh, absolutely. The way the Rebel defense has played two and a half, almost three quarters now, you'll take that 3 points anytime.
And especially the way Nassau's defense has played, anything you can get, you'll take. Long kick by Santor coming down, taken by Hicks at his own 11-yard line. Kicks up to the 20-yard line, or Hicks nailed at the 25-yard line as Doc Pyle on Arthur Hicks at 25.
I tell you, we have really seen some exciting return people this year and gutsy performance. Hicks, he is fearless. He just goes after it and is very short. I don't know how tall is he, Larry. He's got to be probably around 5'5", 5'6". I'm guessing. It's hard to tell from up here. We don't have him.
Don't have him on the roster. That's one that wasn't included on the roster. First down and 10. At the Nassau 25-yard line, a 13-0 lead, Dixie. And Nassau still looking for one more big break for Mitter. They'd like to have the big break for the score. Hand off goes to Mitter. Mitter right into the right side of that line. Gets a couple of yards. When he hits that line, he hits it with force. You can see him move people.
Yeah, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you got to wait for the block. We talked about how he road blockers a lot of times. That's after he gets past the line of scrimmage. Sometimes he's too quick for his own good.
Good running backs are as instinctive as any football player on the field. And you can see all of the markings for Mitter and also for fullback Willie Thomas. He is a good one also. Split the receivers on each side this time. Fake the handoff back to pass. Lang throws a little screen pass. Has it complete to Thomas over the middle. Thomas still on his feet across the 45, down near the 47-yard line. And that's going to open up Nassau.
Well, and that really helps Lang, because Lang, when he goes back for a seven-step drop or a five-step drop, he gets frustrated, gets flustered, and he starts the happy feet. That time, a three-step drop gets a receiver that goes out about 5 yards, and he's able just to calmly pass that out there and picks up 20 yards.
Two receivers to the left. Ken Cologne, the leading receiver, has yet to have a reception today. Phil Lang. First down and 10 at the 46. Fake the handoff to the first man. Give it to Mitter. And Mitter actually tackled forward for a couple of yards. Hit by Buzz Eckhart right at the line of scrimmage. But the momentum was such that it spun him forward for a couple of yards down near the 48.
Yeah, that's... And Dixie, this is where they'd like to be. I mean, second down and 8 yards to go. That plays right into the Rebels' hands. And now they're going to be looking for the pass right now.
Second and 8 at the 48-yard line. 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Dixie with a narrow 13-0 lead over Nassau Community College. High formation once again. Phil Lang starting to settle down at quarterback. Fake the handoff. Rolling to his left. Throwing back across the middle. Thrown behind the tight end. Intended out there for number 88, Peter Cook, the leading receiver at the tight end position this year.
Lang seems to be, you know, aiming the ball rather than throwing the ball. And whenever you do that as a quarterback, it just tightens your whole flow up, and he's having problems today. And he has a pretty strong arm, really. His body motion is just not getting the ball there.
The matchup is a freshman quarterback, Jeff Lindstrom and Phil Lang. But Phil Lang has not had a situation where he played 3 games and then was injured in a previous year and then went on an LDS church mission. He's not had that experience. Lang under pressure steps up. Now he's in trouble. Lang gets to the 50-yard line and spun over at the 48-yard line of Dixie. Lang, a little bit like the Dervish, like some of those big jacks that they had on the field, as Clovis West High School had huge jacks on the field. He looked like one of those arms spread eagle as he was spun down.
Yeah, he really gave it a great effort, though.
Punting situation. Volpita back to do the punting. Jimmy Sprague went high and up and over, and the punt is going to be into the end zone. Good block that kept Volpita from being bothered. It'll be a touchback back to the 20-yard line. And Sprague, I think, is counting his shoulder blades.
Yeah, that was a great punt. I mean, he really skydived clear into the end zone. At least, officially about a 45-yard punt, but it traveled 60 yards in the air.
So the best punt of the day actually on either side, as Volpita has not had as many good punts get away as he probably would like to have had. He'd like to have not had to punt at all. First down and 10 for Dixie at their own 20-yard line with 2:14 left in the game in the third quarter. And Dixie playing a little bit of ball control now. That's going to play on the Nassau defense. Wide receivers each side. I formation on the running backs. Give the handoff. Fake the handoff. Jeff Lindstrom rolls. Throws to the right side. Complete to Chris Ferrando. Right there at the 32-yard line. Ferrando has it and right inbound.
Those hands of Ferrando, I tell you, if you get him in the hands area and his knee doesn't get in the way or something, he's going to catch the ball. Not only did he have to concentrate on the ball, but he had to concentrate about the sideline, and Ferrando really, really made a great catch.
He doesn't hear footsteps. It doesn't seem like he hears footsteps. He's had a crowd around him anytime he's been about to receive the pass. Just short of the 32-yard line. First down and 10 for Dixie. High formation once again in motion. Kurt Stoddard right to left. Third quarter, Dixie with a 13-0 lead. Handoff goes to Wilson Kavaka. Kavaka gets a couple of yards on a play down near the 34-yard line. Kavaka's okay. So those who may have been worried, Tyrann Tater, who had the great draw play, you can relax. Even without Kavaka, they've been playing well.
And Robert Bath on the stop that time, and I noticed after getting hit by Kavaka, he didn't raise his hands to heaven that time.
Second down at 8 yards to go. I was saying there was a little bit of bantering going back. After one of the big tackles, three or four of the Dixie ball players raised their hands to heaven that last series of downs against Nassau. Minute 33 left in the third quarter. Second down and 8. Handoff goes to Kalen Hall, and he is wrapped up into a little bundle. Put a bow on it and say, Happy Merry Christmas. Back at the 31-yard line. Big loss on the play. And Bass got in there. Also in there was, Bass was right in the middle of things again.
Yeah, he's a good player. He has a right to celebrate when he makes a good play. I guess all the offensive players do as well. So Bass is an excellent player.
Third down, 11 yards to go, long yardage. Split the running backs behind quarterback Jeff Lindstrom and slant the running backs behind them also. Stagger them behind Lindstrom. Back to pass, Lindstrom under pressure, throws over the middle, has a complete, no incomplete, into and out of the hands, and Bass celebrates, he deserves it. Kurt Stoddard will be hearing bells for a little while as he caught that one over the middle, kind of. Almost got there, but I think there's going to be a penalty on roughing the quarterback up knee, back upfield.
I didn't see it, but it'd be a big break for Dixie. And I tell you, Nassau, when they play good defense, and they've made two or three mistakes that have really cost them today. And I think that the coach of Nassau may look back at these mistakes and say that it definitely it didn't cost them the game, but it sure helped Dixie out a lot.
First down and 10 at the 46-yard line. They've been bumping into Lindstrom quite a bit. Lindstrom got jolted the previous play, but that time the officials took a good look at it and said, too much.
Yeah, and that's a judgment call a lot of times, and you got to look at the momentum of the defender.
46. Kurt Stoddard was the man who was leveled on that pass play. It's now at the 46-yard line after the penalty and 46 seconds left in the third quarter. Figure it. Jeff Lindstrom under pressure. Throws on the run. Is it going to be intercepted? No. Into and out of the hands. Lindstrom went after the pass and threw it into and out of the hands of the defender, Kenny Gales. Gales dived for it, had it in his hands, lost it as he hit the ground.
Well, obviously there was a miscommunication. Or when Ferrano saw Lindstrom scrambling, trying to get out of the defender's way, he took off upfield. And the only person out there was Gales. And, everybody in the crowd knew that it was going to be an incomplete interception. It looked like it was pretty short.
Second down, 10 yards to go at the 46-yard line of Dixie. 39 seconds left in the third quarter. Pitch goes to Kalen Hall. Has a hole. Hall will get the first down at the 43-yard line of Nassau and save the tackle by Jerome Yates, who reached out there. Hall's gone.
Yeah, he was. In fact, I thought he was gone, and then all of a sudden he's just on the ground. But I don't know where I've seen running back that has made these kind of moves today. He is really juiced, and he's making some cuts today.
First down and 10 at the 43-yard line. Kalen Hall having an outstanding day. Wilson Kavaka has the only touchdown, though, Wide receivers on each side. Hughes right, Peronto left, in motion as the tight end, Kurt Stoddard. Yes, he's still in motion. And off goes to Kavaka. Kavaka stood up at the line of scrimmage. They're looking for him, keying on him, and Robert Bass got him. And even though they keyed on him, they get him every once in a while. End of third quarter, 13-0. Dixie with a lead back in 60 seconds. Fourth quarter about ready to get underway. How important was that third quarter field goal? It will take two scores to win.
Yeah, and two touchdowns to win, exactly. And very important. And Dixie, with another score here, it can make it three scores. And the way that Dixie's been handling Nassau's offense, it's a long road up.
Second down, 10 yards to go, by 10 and a half. Long count at the line of scrimmage. No flags. Kalen Hall nailed in his own backfield. Getting through there was number 85. That was Brian, listed as Brian Wilson, correction, 95. That was Madsen Bradley. Madsen Bradley getting through, and Hall on the tackle. So Madsen Bradley, a tremendous effort right there. Loss on the play back to the 45-yard line. And Dixie in reverse right now, third down, about 12 yards to go. But it's in Nassau territory, so Dixie may be able to play the game of field position in this fourth quarter.
Yeah, that would be beneficial for them. Watch for Bass to key on Kavak. I'll talk about more of that in a minute.
In motion, Kurt Stoddard, left to right. Nobody going with him. Jeff Lindstrom back to pass. Lindstrom under pressure, throwing to the outside. Chris Peronto leads him a little too much. Out there on the coverage is Kenny Gales, and you have to lead a little more with Gales out there because he's knocked away three key passes today.
Well, he's a star. He's been all over the place today, and he came up. He's just a great athlete, and he's one of those guys that could probably play about any position, and he's just an excellent cornerback.
A couple of ball clubs that are used to scoring some points today. Nassau's been held scoreless in Dixie, but 13. The Rebels this year is the lowest point output thus far. Jody Cox puts the toe into it. Curcio is right there. The football almost touched by Hicks will be stopped at the one-yard line. Hicks almost caught it, let it go, and Dixie got right there. Mike Forsythe able to stop it at the one-yard line. Beautiful punt, beautiful coverage.
Yeah, Hicks really made the wrong decision. He should have called for the fair catch and caught it on about the 10-yard line, but well, that's a tough decision to make, and you know, you think it's going to bounce into the end zone, and when it hit, it just died, and Jody with the best punt of the day for him.
First down and 10, put it at the Nassau one-yard line with 13:59 left in the ball game. Dixie with a 13-0 lead. This has been as defensive-oriented a game as we have ever seen for the Dixie Rotary Bowl. Exciting, maybe not. More dramatic this year than exciting. Handoff goes to the fullback, trying to get some daylight, and Dixie would like to stop Nassau right there. Mike Smith on the tackle. Not much gained by Willie Thomas, if any. Maybe a yard at most. Lang has to make that handoff in a hurry because the horses are coming for Dixie.
Yeah, a safety, that puts you 15 points, and that then you're talking three scores once again. Well, at least a two-point conversion. And, boy, I tell you, that would be a big 2 points right now in this game.
The Dixie defense sensing the kill right now, it looks like, because Thomas, big, rugged fullback, got nothing, nada, barely got to the line of scrimmage. And off goes to Mitter. Mitter breaks away. One tackle, there's going to be a safety. Mitter is going to be tackled in the end zone, the safety. Jimmy Sprague got there. Tony Tolo'ono, or are they going to say it is safety? No, they're going to say he got out of the end zone, but no gain. Actually, a loss of a half yard. They aren't going to give him the safety.
Yeah, and when you're down there, the referees give you a lot of benefit of the doubt. And really, he was stood up about the one-yard line and pushed back, and it kind of looked like it was the safety, but probably the correct call.
At the half-yard line, loss of a half yard. Third down and very long yardage. Third down and 10. Inside the Nassau one, Phil Lang. Quick pass, has it to the outside, complete, but a gain only out to the 6-yard line. There on the tackle was Chuck Porter. The man that took the shot was Kenny Colon. Colon, the leading receiver on the year, getting his first pass reception of the day. got at least enough for the punter to have a little room. Fourth down and 5 yards to go. The rush. Booting it away is Lopita, and he boots it out of bounds. So after a tremendous punt, Dixie will take over at the 27-yard line.
Yeah, after a tremendous punt last time, he just shanked it. And that was caused by the rush by Dixie. He hit it off the other side of his foot, and Dixie's really got to take advantage of having the ball now on the 26-yard line.
First down and 10, just inside the 27, almost to the 26-yard line of Nassau. Dixie with the football. Dixie with a 13-0 lead and 12-16 left in the ball game. The Rebels, the key, not to make mistakes. The mistakes have been a little more Nassau's than Dixie's. And on a tight defensive day, you cannot afford to make the mistakes. Jeff Lindstrom, Nassau, wants to stop the running game. Kalen Hall breaks through. Kalen Hall has the first down. Just away from the 10-yard line. Hall explodes. Got the hole and got to the 11. Take that.
He was sniffing 6 points, I'll tell you that time. He ran very, very hard. He wants a touchdown in this game, and he probably deserves it with all the great runs he's had today.
First down and 10 at the 11-yard line. That was a case. A little trap block, and he was gone.
Yeah, it was a simple play, and if you execute a play, every play is designed for a touchdown. That's what the coaches will say to you. Of course, that's one of those trap blocks that went 15 yards.
Power against power. Running game against running game. Handoff, fake the handoff. Lindstrom over the middle. Touchdown, Kurt Stoddard. Lindstrom, beautiful fake, and Stoddard gets the touchdown. And gets a standing ovation. Jeff Lindstrom having an outstanding day in many ways. It's going to be tough to select the most valuable players on both sides. We've had some heroics. Dixie have 19-0 with 11:42 left in the game. And Jared Santora to do the kicking. And you can see the confidence rise. High snap, the kick by Santora. Is it good? No, misses it. It'll stay 19-0 with 11:42 left, back in 60.
You need a break. You need to get away for a while. You need to relieve some stress. Here's the answer. The St. George Travel Center is now offering special packages to Cancun, Hawaii, Rarotonga, and Disney World. They're sending people on cruises and to other places to have fun. You should join them. You deserve it. Relieve some stress. The St. George Travel Center, 468 West, 145 North. Call 628-4885. At the St. George Travel Center, their business is relaxation. It's colder and getting harder to get out of that cozy warm bed in the morning. Wouldn't a hot shower feel great right now? But the old water heater is working harder and producing less. Shower and save with a new Master Plumber natural gas water heater from J&J Building Supply. Master Plumber water heaters have heavy gauge steel, thermal glass lining, full block insulation, heat trap, and vacation settings. Save energy and money with a natural gas water heater from J&J Building Supply, 180 North, 300 East in St. George. Natural gas, your best energy value.
19-0, Dixie with the lead. Needless to say, Nassau has not been shut out. They're looking for their 20th victory in 2 years. Dixie College going after their 19th in 2 years. 11:42 left in the ball game, and Dixie now has a 3-score lead. It takes 3 scores to get the lead for Nassau now.
It would really take a big turnaround for the offense of the Lions to come back with those 3 scores the way that the Rebel defense has been dominating.
The kick is up and deep, taken in the end zone by Arthur Hicks. He's decided he wants to run. Hicks at the 10. At the 15, will be dragged down at the 17. Reaching out and grabbing him was Alfred Tukuafu. And Tukuafu doing a little celebrating. A tight end who just seems to shine on those special teams.
I tell you, reach out and touch someone, and Hicks got touched by the jersey, and as that'll get ripped off of him. And, boy, that's just one of those things where you go by and just grab and hope you get something, and he got it.
Tukuafu, who is, yes, related to Jeff Kafusi. There are cousins in there. Some way. High formation on the running backs. Fake the handoff. Lang, jump pass over the middle. Is it complete? Or is it good? I think it is. Oh, Peter Cook thought that he got it, but all of the officials staring at it. The one that had the best shot never made a signal.
Yeah, that was strange because the back judge on the left side of the field made the call. Really, he was the most emphatic about it. And the other ones kind of stood around looking at each other. And I don't know, from my vantage point, it looked like he caught the ball. But, like I said, his back was to me.
First down and 10 at the Nassau 18-yard line. Became second down and 10 after the incompleted pass. Second down, 10 yards to go at the Nassau 18. Nassau Community College trying to overcome a 19-0 deficit. Back to pass, Phil Lang. Dixie's defensive secondary back and join pass over the head of Jeff Blackman. Blackman was out there and had Chuck Porter beaten. Try that one.
Well, I don't know if he had him beaten or if Chuck thought it was an out pattern. Actually, what happened was I think Chuck thought he was cutting to the sideline, and all of a sudden he was 4 yards beyond Chuck Porter. And boy, if Lang would have been there connected, it was a touchdown.
6'1", 200-pound freshman Jeffrey Blackman will be back next year for Nassau. Nassau came into this game third-ranked in the nation. If you look over the decade, Nassau is 7th, Dixie 6th in total rankings over the history of the 1980s. Back to pass, Bill Lang steps up, has his receiver there, but underthrows him. And Lang, the jittery feet again.
Well, he's throwing with his upper body. And a lot of quarterbacks, you'll watch them on TV or watch them in person. You got to throw with your legs, too, for the accuracy part. And he's just throwing all with his arm and his shoulders, and you just can't get it there.
11:21 left in the game. There is enough time. There's no question about that. But it's fourth down and 10 at the Nassau 18-yard line. And Nassau being forced to the pass against their normal instincts. The instinct is to go to the run. Craig Mitter and Willie Thomas. Thomas has had some success today. Mitter has had some success. Apparently there is an injury on the field. And it may be the receiver who is down. I'm not sure if his spike's caught or not. Let's take a 60-second break. 19-0, Dixie with a lead with 11:21 left in the game. Back in 60.
Hey, goggles check, gloves check, overalls check, helmet check. Tom, you don't need all that to paint anymore. I just heard about Pratt & Lambert's new Alkali Paint with their special no splatter formula.
No muss, no fuss, no splatter?
Nope, not with Pratt & Lambert Paint. Better go down to Jones Paint & Glass on 596 East Tabernacle and make life a little easier on ourselves.
Into every diamond, nature breathes a spectacular light we call brilliance. But only when a diamond is ideal cut is brilliance fully realized. Perfectly proportioned facets capture light and fire it back in 1,000 breathtaking combinations. See MacArthur Jewelers downtown and choose from their fine selection of Lazar diamonds. Brilliance. In faultless balance with fire and sparkle, it makes an ideal cut Lazar diamond the only one to own. MacArthur Jewelers downtown and in the Redcliffe Mall.
11:21 left in the game, 19-0. The fans, I was thinking some of the fans are leaving, but I think they're moving to the What's Honey territory we have because the wooden stands on the far side now are starting to fill up.
Yeah, they look pretty good to me, too. I may go over there with about 5 minutes left in the game. My toes. Look at my toes.
Oh, my gracious, the icicles. It's amazing. 11:21 left. Dixie, the ball player is still down, so apparently is something more severe than we thought. And it must have been the wide receiver out there. I'm not sure what took place.
Yeah, I'm not either. We were talking during the timeout a little bit about how cleanly this game has been played, and both teams just very aggressive, both teams playing hard football, but very good sports and not many penalties. And that's one of the things that really has hurt Nassau was the roughing the punter penalty that time that gave Dixie a first down and also the roughing of the passer on Lindstrom, and which led to a field goal. And with the exception of those two, it's been a very well-played ball game by both teams penalty-wise.
You almost worry that there might be a back injury of sorts, although we've not seen the emergency vehicles be called forward yet. The medical assistants are there, but the emergency vehicles have not been called forward, and now he's up in a sitting position. So apparently it is not a back injury or a neck injury that is feared, and so that is a relief. But it may be something else. You wonder if the Spikes got caught or some other situation. He is up now. After all of this time, he is up, and I'm not sure exactly what took place, but coming very slowly to the sidelines, Jeffrey Blackman, good young receiver. He's going to be a good one. He's been a good one already this year for NASA.
Yeah, and it's good to see him get up, and he's walking pretty well right now, and may have got the, who knows, we don't want to speculate on the injury, and if we find out, we'll let you know.
Copita, under pressure, has the punt partially deflected by Dixie, and it may be picked up by Nassau Community College. Nassau may get it back because it was deflected by Dixie. Let's double check. Let's see if, or they rule that it is Dixie's all the way. It will be ruled, apparently there's a penalty against Nassau Community College or against Dixie. So, Brian, did you pick that one up?
No, it's just going to be Dixie's ball. The marker that was down just marking where the ball was touched, I think, and it's first down and 10 to go on the 33.
This one is a tough one for Nassau because now they've had back-to-back four punts. This one created by the Dixie defense. Dixie, first down and 10 at the Nassau 33. Hand off goes to the fullback, Wilson Kavaka. Big hole at the 25, at the 20. Kavaka at the 15, at the 10. First and goal at the 7-yard line. Kavaka, that quick hitter once again, and he is quick with that first couple of steps.
He really is, and I'll tell you what, Pirano, if he would have really got the block on that one, Kavaka would have been gone because there was no one, and Pirano would like to have that block try over again.
First down and goal at the Nassau 7-yard line, and Wilson Kavaka. They drive the scoring, touchdown scoring drive in the second quarter is when Kavaka first got unloosed. When he first loosened up, and Nassau was trying to key on Kavaka, and you could tell it all day. They've had him bottled up much of the time. And off to Kalen Hall. Hall scrambling down near the 5-yard line. And yes, a little bit smaller in terms of weight, about the same height as the young man by the name of Brown who was here a few years ago. Marcus Brown, who used to end up on his stomach on the back of some of the offensive lineman and legs still kicking out in the air.
I tell you, Robert Bath just could not believe that Kalen Hall got 2 yards on the play. They stopped him. He just looked and said, I can't. He threw his arms up in the air in disgust that time.
Second down. Goal to go at the 5-yard line. Dixie trying to pound it home. Pitch back to Kalen Hall, a loose one tackler. Still on his feet. Does he get the touchdown? Yes. The question was, did his knee touch down? And apparently not. Kalen Hall gets the touchdown. Davin Miles thought that he had taken his feet out from under him and brought the knee down, but Hall, with the official right there, did not touch.
That's right. The official was watching that all the way, and, boy, he just barely got around the corner, and that's all he needed to get the touchdown.
9:59 left, and now Dixie starting to make a rout of it, 25-0. As Kalen Hall has hit, Jared Santor trying to make good on the point after. The snap, the kick. This one is up and blocked. It can be picked up by NASA. I know they're going to stop it right there. And Dixie's going to pick it up and get in. Let's see how the officials rule it. I think they're going to say it's been down. Are they going to rule a 2-point conversion? That is a strange one. Picked up by number 55 for Dixie, Mark Peterson, as it was blocked. The point after was blocked, and it was picked up by Peterson and run into the end zone. It's 27-0. That is the weirdest. Back in 60 seconds. 27-0. Mark Peterson gets 2 points. Amazing. The young man from North Pole, Alaska, who made the trip down here, he is now playing for Dixie. And as we talked with Mark, North Pole is not at the North Pole. It's a suburb of Fairbanks. The kick by Santor drilled deep into and out of the hands of Hicks. We'll pick it up at the 2-yard line. Coming out on the run at the 10, the 15, the 20, the 25. Hicks down the sidelines. The 30, the 35 smothered near the 38 and 39-yard line. That time, Hicks finally drilled down by number 68, Travis Elliott. But it was a big run back by Hicks.
But every time Hicks gets his hands on the ball, he thinks he should score. And, I mean, that's the attitude you have to have as a return guy. If he ran 70 yards and got tackled, he'd think he should have got a touchdown. But that's a good attitude to have.
First down and 10 at the NASA 39-yard line. And what has been a strange day, a two-point conversion on a block kick into the hands of an offensive lineman who scrambles into the end zone. And now the fact, the timeout called by NASA with 9:49 left in the ball game. It's 27-0 Dixie back in 60.
You need a break. You need to get away for a while. You need to relieve some stress. Here's the answer. The St. George Travel Center is now offering special packages to Cancun, Hawaii, Rarotonga, and Disney World. They're sending people on cruises and to other places to have fun. You should join them. You deserve it. Relieve some stress. The St. George Travel Center, 468 West, 145 North. Call 628-4885. At the St. George Travel Center, their business is relaxation.
It's colder and getting harder to get out of that cozy warm bed in the morning.
27-0, Dixie with the lead. It's first down and 10 at the 39-yard line for Nassau Community College. The New York team trying to get back in this one. Two receivers on each side. Lang, under pressure, throws the pass. Incomplete. No, it is complete. Tipped by number 7, Wesselhoff, into the hands of Cologne, and it is enough for a good gain down to the 47-yard line. So we're having another strange one. Weird times at the Dixie Rotary Bowl.
Yeah, a few years ago that wouldn't be legal. Of course, it is now, and Cologne was just in the right place that time.
So tip from 7-9. If you're looking at the numbers, Wesselhoff to Cologne. It's second down and about 2 yards to go at the Nassau 47. Hand off to Craig Mitter, and Mitter has been stopped. Virtually no gain. Mitter has to be disappointed as Mike Smith is in the middle of things. Bringing Burr in there. Burr and Smith have to be considered his candidates for the player of the game. We're making all sorts of selections up here, Brian.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to do that. And you're right, Mitter, especially in the second half. The first half, he had the bulk of the offense. He had 63 yards. This half, only 10 yards.
Third down, about a yard and a half to go. Mitter picked up a half a yard on that game. Wide receivers on each side. Phil Lang looking at the defense, and Dixie can play a little havoc in the defensive backfield. And off goes to Mitter. Mitter right into the middle of the line. Looks like he may be close to a first down. Brigham Burr met him head on and tried to bulldog him back. The question is, did he make it? And it looks like he did.
Yeah, it looks like he crossed the plane of the marker and... I don't know if they're going to measure. No, they're going to call the fourth down, it looks like, Larry.
That would be a tough call. It looks like it's enough for the first down. It would surprise me. Now the officials are going to measure. That's a little more like it. 8:05, the clock stopped. 27-0. And Nassau trying to get the offense started. It has never really gotten out of the blocks today because of Dixie's defense.
Well, what happened in the first half is that the Nassau couldn't establish a passing game. And so Dixie was able to key on Mitter and also the fullback Thomas. And when you can do that and not be scared by the passing game, then you've got trouble. Whereas Dixie was able to do both. They actually, in this game, they established their running by passing the ball.
The pass right off the bat to Hughes, to Prado, back to Hughes again, and they had three complete passes early.
Yeah, and that's unlike the Rebels of old, but... it worked for him today.
Two receivers to the left, two to the right, one setback, and quarterback Phil Lang, first down and 10. Back to pass. Lang sets up, throwing deep to the left side. Back there, Chuck Porter intercepted at the 26-yard line. Porter waiting all the time. He saw it coming, set up camp, and grabbed it.
You know, Coach Groshaw always talks about Porter. His instincts are so incredible. And Porter, he read the play. One thing Lang needs to learn as a freshman is kind of look off a receiver, and he didn't. He eyed him the whole way, and he waited for him to go down the sidelines, and so did Porter, and it just hung up, and Porter was able to get the INT.
I like that. Jason Duckworth had one earlier. Now Chuck Porter, two pass interceptions, 7:44 left in the game. Dixie with a 27-0 lead over Nassau Community College. High formation once again. Handoff goes to Zed Robinson, who's back into the lineup. And Robinson, who started out having a good year until he ran into the injury bug. Okay. And no gain on the play. In fact, maybe a half-yard loss on the play. Make it second down. And closer to 11 yards to go. Put it just across the 25-yard line. 7:15 left in the game. Dixie trying to nurse this one home. 27 to nothing. High formation on the running backs once again. And off goes to the fullback, Tyran Tater, who's in there. And Wilson Cavaca getting a much earned rest. And Tyran Tater getting his chance. Gain of a couple of yards down to near the 28-yard line. Third down. And about 8 yards to go at the 28-yard line. 27 to nothing. Dixie with the lead. As the Rebels are trying to nurse this one home. Looking for the blitz. We may have an offside. Jeff Lindstrom back to pass. Jeff Lindstrom about to get sacked. No, there's not going to be any flag on the play. Maybe wisely so. The blitz was there and Lindstrom was sacked. There on the tackle was number 93 getting through, Jerome Yates. Yates, one of them.
Yeah, one thing that was interesting is I really thought he was offside, at least in the neutral zone. They didn't call it. And one thing that I know Coach Crowshaw wants now that he's got 6 minutes left in the game, he wants that shutout. And now Nassau's going to get the ball back with a pretty good field position.
5:53 left in the game. Jody Cox standing back at his own 2-yard line. Nassau wants the block. They've got to come after him. No. High kick coming down by Jody Cox, driving Arthur Hicks back and then getting a Dixie bound. Cox inside the 25 down to the 24-yard line. Hit about the 40 and got an extra 16 yards on the ground.
Oh, he's happy. It was a great punt no matter if he would have just caught the ball on a fair catch, but after it took off another 15 yards down the field, and that puts a smile on everybody's face on the Rebel sideline.
First down and 10 at the 24-yard line, and this would look like it was going to be one of the biggest challenges for Dixie this year or in the history of this Rotary Bowl, and it has been. The Northeastern Oklahoma's ball club last year also a big challenge. Two receivers on each side. Lang, quick down and out pattern, has it complete to Kenny Cologne. Cologne once again on the reception. And Cologne now is starting to pick up some receptions. Dixie giving the short yardage. Try to take away the long yardage, and that's just fine for Dixie.
Yeah, and they're playing the defense, kind of a soft defensive game right now. But believe me, if they get close to the goal line, they're going to tighten things up.
Dixie has but one shutout this year, and that was on the road against Mesa Community College, the team that beat Nassau last year. They pass to the left side, incomplete. As drilling is Chuck Porter, drilled the receiver, Arthur Hicks, but there's a flag the other way. Craig Mitter moved before the snap, trying to get in position for the block, and that's going to be a penalty against Nassau. You could see that one.
Yeah, Mitter, he's anxious. They've been frustrated all day. They come all the way out to New York, from New York to St. George, and they really wanted to make a good showing, and so far no points. That's got to be very frustrating for a team that's 9-1.
Good defensive show for three quarters. And then Dixie finally getting a little lead in the fourth quarter, 13 to nothing by the end of three quarters. And you have to give Nassau the credit on defense. They did an excellent job. The penalty declined. Third down and 5 again at the 29-yard line. Back to pass. Lang throwing. Thrown behind his man. And the happy feet again. He had his man open. And the pressure was there. Thrown behind Cologne. Chuck Porter and Ken Cologne talking about something out there, and I don't think it's the price of beans in Sheboygan.
Well, after Porter made the interception last series, he came back across the field, and he was talking to Cologne again, and they've had a little thing going all day.
So, Peter, the kick coming down, fair catch called for by Tola Ono at the 38-yard line. Dixie just wanting to play a little possession now with 4:50 left in the game, and the fans starting to sense the potential for a shutout. Nassau Community College, an outstanding ball club. The offense has just been shut down. The Dixie defense has just shut them down.
And that's been the star all year long is the Rebel defense. The offense has kind of methodically done their thing, but really the defense will win you games, and it's won this game today.
4:50 left in the ball game. Dixie's trying to nurse this one home. 27-0. Lindstrom, handoff goes to Zed Robinson, cuts to the outside, cuts back upfield, and Robinson, his best run of the day, close to a first down. And it looks like he may have it from a first down and 10 at the Dixie 39, a gain of 10 yards, and Zed Robinson starting to show a little bit of what he could do. Had an outstanding year last year. Had an outstanding year last year. This year, injury plagued, and that gave Kalen Hall a chance to shine. 4:27 left in the ballgame. Wide receivers on each side. Quarterback is Jeff Lindstrom. Pitch goes to the tailback again. This time, sweep to the left. Zed Robinson turns upfield, gets across the 50 down near the 48-yard line. One thing Dixie has to be cautious of is to watch out for crashing right into the football, swiping the football. Bruce Cherry on the tackle that time. Down to the Nassau 48-yard line. Gain of about 3 yards on the play. Second down, 7 yards to go. 3:55 left in the game. Dixie has all but wrapped up the fifth annual Dixie Rotary Bowl. Some things still hang in the balance. The awards after. Whether Dixie can actually get the shutout. Wide to the right, Kyle Hughes. Wide to the left, Chris Peronto. I formation again. Handoff this time goes to Jan Brooks, who's in at the tailback. Brooks actually getting helped forward a little bit by the tackling at Nassau Community College. So Brooks, who's seen but brief action on the day, makes it down to the 44-yard line. Gain of about 4 yards on the play. Third down and 3, and Dixie just trying to keep the clock running. 3:14 left in the game. Nassau has not been able to solve the Dixie defense at all.
No, they really haven't. And I don't know. You know, you could go a lot of times, a lot of games these two teams could play. And defensively, Dixie just so sound.
Kevin Bunker to the left into the lineup. Jeff Lindstrom on the quarterback option. Turns upfield. Has the first down. Inside the 35. He's going to get drilled. But he got the first down and then some, running the little quarterback option.
Yeah, and everybody defensively for Nassau, I thought he was going to flip the ball, but he saw it seam, and he really showed some quickness there, turned the ball upfield and picks up a first down. And more importantly is that you get that first down, you've taken a lot more time off the clock, and really in 3 or 4 plays, Dixie could run the clock out if they do things right here.
2:38 left in the game, first down and 10, inside the Nassau 33-yard line. Wide receivers on each side may be academic at this point. I formation again. Lindstrom, handoff to the fullback, Tyran Taylor. Taylor inside the 30, down near the 28. Taylor, quick first step. In fact, had a 240-pounder, ran out of the tailback position on occasion this year.
Yeah. Taylor got the good move, but Nassau is a beaten team right now. And, you know, they're struggling just to... They're just kind of walking slow back to their defensive positions. They know the game is over, and it looks like we have a new quarterback in the game there.
Mark Brady, the 30-year-old, the young man, four children, living in Leeds, businessman, getting a chance for a lifelong dream. And the 30-year-old quarterback, Mark Brady, in a quarterback now. Hand for Jeff Lindstrom. Brady pitches back to the tailback position. Jeff and Zed Robinson. Robinson turns to the outside. Robinson has the first down. So the pitch from Brady to Robinson. The clock continues to run. It's first down and 10. With a minute 32 left, and Dixie just keeps bringing running backs off the bench, one after another.
Yeah, this would be a real nice thing if the second team could go in there and score a touchdown. I'm sure they all want to do it. Because they work hard all year long in practice, and they do as much as the first team, and it'd be exciting for him, especially in a bowl game.
Nice touch for Mark Brady to get a chance to play in a bowl game, something he never thought would happen after he got out of high school 12 years ago. High formation on the running backs. Brady, long count, handoff to the fullback, Tyran Taylor. Taylor down to the 18-yard line. Dixie, I don't think, is going to be trying for this score. They're just going to let it go. A minute left in the football game. Second down, about 8 yards to go. Down is the Nassau ball player. And the defense has to be exhausted at this point. Getting up very slowly is Charlie Curcio, or Michael Curcio, I should say. Curcio has had an outstanding today and might be a good candidate for the Nassau player of the game because he's been on a lot today.
Yeah, he really has. And we handed in our little selection for the rotary ball players of the game from each squad, but we need to pick a KDXU players of the game. We'll pick a little different way than we did for the rotary bowl.
We'll see how the bowl selection goes, and we'll make our own selections later. Madsen Bradley back in. Second down, 8 yards to go. Start the clock, 50 seconds left. Dixie, one, maybe two plays left before they wrap up a victory in the fifth annual Dixie Rotary Bowl against the third-ranked team in the nation. Pitch goes to Zed Robinson. Sweeps to the outside. Robinson looking for some running room. Turns the corner. Robinson touchdown. And spikes the ball. Robinson turned the corner. Touchdown, Robinson. 18-yard touchdown run makes it 33-0. And at the risk of... You have to feel bad for Nassau. You didn't want to have any more scores against a third-ranked team in the nation because this is a quality program with gentlemen who are quality football coaches running the program. But it's nice to see Zed Robinson, the sophomore playing in his last game for Dixie, get a touchdown. The snap, the kick, Santor puts it up. Is it good? Hits the goalpost and goes through. And it's been one of those days. Ricochets through, hits the left goalpost. Just skims through on the right side. 34 seconds left. It's 34-0. Dixie back in 60.
Yo, this is your nose, and I'd like to talk to you about the...
With 34 seconds left in the ball game, 34-0 with 34 seconds left. If you're a numerologist, we've had some strange ones today.
Even if you aren't a numerologist, we've had some strange ones today. It has been interesting.
The most strange conversions. Arthur Hicks, one more shot. Ricochets off his shoulder pads. Into the end zone, touchback. So, with 30 seconds left in the ball game, it'll be first down and 10 for Nassau from their own 20-yard line. Dixie just has to play out the string. And the Nassau Community College Ball Club with one of the top players in the country, Craig Mitter. The two ball clubs keyed on each other. Dixie keyed on Mitter. Nassau keyed on Kavaka, and the break came late in the second quarter when Kavaka finally got loose.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. They finally were able to get Kavaka loose, and that really turned the game around.
Mitter loose for one 30-yard run. Otherwise, he has been somewhat stymied today, averaging 8 yards a carry. I think that's the only carry he's had longer than 8 yards today. High formation on the running back. Some substitutions in there. New quarterback, Mingo, I believe it is. Pass complete. To number nine, enough for the first down. Pass complete to Cologne. William Mingo into the lineup. Completes the pass to Cologne with 23 seconds left. Enough for a first down? Yes, clear up to the 35-yard line. First down and 10 at the 35-yard line. And Ken Cologne, who is picking up some yardage now. First down and 10 at the 35. 23 seconds left. Bad snap from center, and Dixie may have recovered a fumble. Fumble on the play, and Dixie picks it up. The man with the fumble recovery, I believe, was number 66. That was Paul Tomoa. So with 15 seconds left, Dixie takes over. First down and 10. Fumble recovered by Paul Tomoa. And that may be part of the tale today. Little control, but three quarters, it was a case of defensive struggle between two outstanding defensive teams. Mark Brady, the quarterback, will start the clock, and that's about it. Probably fall on it. Nope. And off goes to Tyran Taylor. Taylor muscling his way forward. Taylor still on his feet. Taylor close to a first down. So a first down and 10 from the Nassau 35, and that will be the final play of the game. Dixie fans with the applause as Dixie shuts out Nassau Community College. 34-0, as it was an outstanding performance by the Dixie College Rebels. That makes the Western States Football League 1-1 in bowl game play, and in the game that's going on right now in Phoenix, Arizona, it'll be up to Glendale Community College to make it 2-1 for Western States Football League teams as they're going against Walla Walla. 34-0, the final. The players are shaking hands at midfield. There will be some awards presentations. Let's take a 90-second break. We'll be back and recap this ball game. Back in 90.
Like a prism turning into sunlight, a diamond casts light in all.
34-0, and Brian, as you said, it wasn't that close until the fourth. It wasn't that much of a runaway until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to give a hats off. It's too bad you can't give a whole team a most valuable player, because Dixie really, really played an excellent game today. And defensively, they held Nassau with under 200 yards total offense, and incredible performance by the Rebels. And getting prepared for the game, you got to give some credit to the coaches, who probably spent hours and hours and hours watching game film and seeing the tendencies of the Lions. And it's tough for a team to come almost 3,000 miles in plane ride and bus ride and a lot of activities. And I thought the Nassau team gave a good performance. But with a 34-0 victory, Larry, where does that put Dixie in the national rankings now? Very impressive win over a third-ranked team.
The guess is third.
It seems like that's where they always go.
Nassau Community College had an outstanding shot at being number one or number two. We're going to have the most valuable player announcement now. And let's see if we can.
We're delighted to have the two best junior college teams in America to participate in this show today.
Nassau and Dixie College playing very well today. Let's check.
What final player from the Nassau Lions? Kenny Gales.
Kenny Gales is the most valuable player for Nassau Island. Kenny Gales, the defensive back. And yes, we went with Kenny Gales also.
Yeah, we voted for him.
And Wilson Kavaka. Hey, we hit it two for two.
Amazing. It's amazing.
So, Kenny Gales, outstanding defensive performance today. And the coaches will come forward. John Anselmo will be talking with Coach Greg Croshaw. We're going to be making a selection of an offensive and defensive player of the game also. And we have some plenty of choices on both sides today. Offensively, you have the offensive line. Mike Forch, the sophomore on that offensive line, who has done such an outstanding job. Wilson, we are not going to give it to Wilson Kavaka because Wilson has already won the Most Valuable Player Award here. Caitlin Hall, Jeff Lindstrom for his abilities today. Kyle Hughes had an outstanding pass-receiving day. And with his receptions, that helped break things open. That has to be part of the story today. Jared Santor with his field goal, that kept Nassau at bay.
Yeah, Lindstrom, I think, had a real solid game today. He was in complete control all the time. He made much of the right decisions. Threw a couple of passes that were probably not what Coach Croshaw wanted, but I thought all in all, Lindstrom played a great game. Hall played a great game. It was a very, much a team effort today.
Let's see if we can pick up Jim Coleman now, who's making the announcement, shaking hands with the team captain. Robert Bass. Joe Burgos, John Anselmo, the coach for Nassau.
I'd like to thank the Dixie Rotary people for inviting us. They run a great ball, and I have to offer the Dixie football team. They're a great football team. Thank you.
John Anselmo has to be heartbroken. Came in confident, and he had reason to be confident. Coach Greg Croshaw now coming forward.
For the fifth year, congratulations.
Coach Greg Croshaw. Let's see if we have any words from Coach Croshaw. His little boy Jace is there. And his littler boy, who I can't remember. No comments from Coach Greg Croshaw. We'll be hearing from Coach Greg Croshaw in just a few moments. Dixie Rotary Bowl, which, in all honesty, was on the ragged edge a little bit this year, whether it actually take place. The Rotary Committee, the Rotary Club deserves to have a big hand. There are a lot of sponsors led by Utah Power and Light who have helped bring this about, and there is a whole list of sponsors, and I hesitate by saying Utah Power and Light because there are a whole bunch of others that I should remember. But the Rotary Committee deserves a real, real hand for putting this together. This may have been the finest total celebration in the history of the Rotary Bowl.
Yeah, it's been a fun week for everybody involved. I was at the dance last night at the Burns Arena, where all the high school bands were there, and kids from all over St. George. And, boy, they had a fun time, and they were talking about the the band competition last night, and the stadium was filled, and you went to the banquet and the parade this morning. And it is. It's just a great event for St. George, and it'd be a shame if ever we lose it. I heard your interview the other day with John Watcott, and he was referring to the fact that the contract for the national championship game is going to be renegotiated and a few other things. And there was talk about maybe St. George hosting that in the future. But those things are up in the air, of course. But it is recognized as one of the great junior college bowls in the United States.
And obviously disappointed. I think that's best the way to put it. Nassau Community College team, an outstanding group of young men. Gentlemen, they were impressive. It was an impressive group of young men at the banquet the other night. And I think the best way to put it is disappointed. Not bedraggled, not down and out. They have had an outstanding season. 9-2 record is nothing to sneeze at. Their goal of trying to get 20 victories over two seasons was not reached. It was derailed by Dixie 34-0 today. But it's a disappointed team, but a team that has played very well over the decade.
Yeah, they don't need to be ashamed of anything. They played hard, and I think that's what the coaching staff is probably going to tell them right now. He's probably talking to them, says, I'm very proud. I don't know what he's saying, but I would guess he's saying how proud he is of them and for the gentlemen that they are and the way they played very, very hard today.
Let's recap the scoring once again, 34-0. Dixie with the victory. They scored first in the second quarter. It was a shutout first quarter. And I think that kind of told what was going to take place at least for the next two quarters. Dixie finally got a score with 12:52 left in the first half, a 36-yard field goal by Jared Santor. After a missed field goal by Nassau, Dixie came right back with a 3-yard touchdown run by Wilson Kavaka with 3:36 left in the first half. Point after was good by Santor to make it 10-0. Then Dixie had to go a long ways, and maybe one of the key drives began at their own 17-yard line. Nassau shut down Dixie, but Jared Santor got the 37-yard field goal to make it 13-0 with 4:30 left in the third quarter. And from that point on, it was Dixie. As Dixie's defense just dominated the fourth and final quarter, Dixie got a touchdown on a 5-yard touchdown run from Kalen Hall with 9:59 left. They blocked, a correction. Before we got to that, we had the touchdown after Dixie got a short punt from Vopita. The touchdown pass from Jeff Lindstrom to Kurt Stoddard from 11 yards out made it 19-0. The point after was no good. The next series of downs, Dixie got the good field position again. A couple of bad punts helped set it up and helped break things open. Kalen Hall with a 5-yard touchdown run. The point after was blocked, but right into the hands of Mark Peterson, who ran in for the 2-point conversion to make it 27-0. And then the final touchdown coming with 34 seconds left, Zed Robinson from 18 yards out, appropriately so, an 18-yard touchdown run. Final point after was good by Jared Santor to make it 34-0. And that was the final score as Dixie won 34-0. Let's take a 90-second break. We have the championship trophy in our booth. We'll have the championship coach with us in just a moment. The Dixie Rotary Bowl, Dixie 34, Nassau nothing, back in 90 seconds.
Credit card to be issued to all fans of Dixie College. This is a full-use Visa.
It has the stadium, 34-0, the final, and you were going to say? You were going to say?
Dixie wins.
And your name is?
Jace.
Jace what?
Kershaw.
You related to the coach?
Yes.
You happy?
Yes.
Yeah, what about your little brother? What's his name?
Mark.
Mark, is he going to say anything ever?
I don't know.
You're not sure, Mark? Are you ever going to say anything? He snickers a lot, doesn't he?
I'm going to have to carry one of these microphones around the house. Maybe that, because if he'd be that quiet at home, we'd all have a lot more rest.
We were talking as you came up here and got a chance. That's a beautiful trophy, by the way. You're glad to have another one.
Oh, without any question. You know, the only trouble with this is that as the string grows, my nerves become shorter. That's a good football team. That score is, I would not want to play them 10 times and try to have to duplicate that. That's a good football team. They had to travel a long way, but they need to be complimented because they're a class program, and that's a fine football team. It's interesting to me. I think this Nassau team is very comparable to an NEO that we play a different way. That NEO was a lot quicker and a little bit tough for us to handle because of the quickness. But this Nassau team was a team that's very similar to our football team, and I think a quality team. They just kind of got caught in the log jam there as they rolled down the hill. But they're a good football team. There was some real hitting going on out there.
Saying NEO is quicker than NASA is like saying Miss America is prettier than Miss Utah. There isn't much difference.
Well, there really isn't. You know, like I say, but they are more in the mold that we are in that they're much bigger. They line up on the offensive line 300, 285, very similar to what we do. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that an NEO team lines up with 220-pounders, and they're all – it was hard to tell their DBs, linebackers, and defensive line apart because they were all great-looking athletes. And Nassau's more like we, big, strong kids in the front lines and good athletes on the outside, though.
Running game versus running game, Craig Mitter was the man you had to key on. Wilson Kavaka was the man they keyed on.
Well, I think we talked a little bit in the pregame. I thought Jeff Lindstrom did an outstanding job throwing the football. We couldn't move it much there early, and he did an outstanding job. And to me, that then opened our running game because we got stuffed a little bit. And then, Wilson did a great job, but so did Kalen Hall, and so did our offensive lineman. That was as tough a defensive front as we've seen in a long time.
We were going to make a selection of the KDXU player of the game, and obviously we're not going to go with Wilson Kavaka because he's got this award. Now, on offense, it's a little tough to pick one. Jeff Lindstrom, Kalen Hall, do you have any preference?
Well, I really don't. I think the offensive linemen do a great job and don't get sometimes as much recognition as they deserve. But I don't know what Jeff's numbers were, but I'll tell you what, I know he got hit as many times as any quarterback, and he didn't get sacked very many times, but his award may be that in about a week or two, he'll be healed up.
He hit those key passes. I think Jeff Lindstrom would be an outstanding choice. Defensively, it's tough to pick out one man. You've had two interceptions today, a lot of tackles. Tyree O'Pikins with a key sack. Lots of strong defensive effort.
Well, there really was. It all goes on so fast out there, but when you shut a team out like Nassau and I heard the halftime stats, I think as we came out 79 yards or something, that's a great defensive effort. And you get a bowl game and put a shutout up, that's a tremendous effort. And I don't know who played extremely well. I think they all did. It'd be very difficult from where I was. I don't know if I could pick one.
If I were to pick one, maybe Mike Smith. He sensed that he got a lot of tackles right in the middle of things, especially early.
Well, I think he'd probably be a heck of a choice. I have, like I said, I have no problem with either way that we go, but that's a great defensive effort.
This was the case, defensive versus defense. There's no question about that.
None whatsoever. And I think I said that in the pregame show. I think it really turned out to be kind of a good prediction on my behalf. I think the difference in the ball game was that we could throw the football. They didn't have much success throwing it early, and I think that enabled us really to zero in because they're fine running backs, tailbacks, and All-American. And I think that fired up, Kalen Hall, a few of our guys, but deservingly so. But I think the difference was, like I say, that we were able to throw the ball and loosen them up, and they really didn't get much going in the passing game, which didn't surprise me a great deal, but I was very pleased with the way we were able to contain our quarterback because he's a heck of an athlete.
Had a tendency to be maybe a little bit nervous with his feet, freshman experience.
Yeah, and he's a great athlete. Sometimes I guess the easy way out is start running around. And our guys shut off his angles, I thought, extremely well the entire ballgame. He did get out of time or two, but overall I thought it was an outstanding effort.
Hitting in this ballgame, you can hear it clear up here.
Yeah, this is big-time stuff. You get a couple of top-ranked teams like that, and they know how to play football, and they weren't pulling back on either side.
What was the secret on controlling Mitter? He had one big burst, and that was it. Otherwise, every one of his gains was less than his 8 yard per game or eight yard per carry average. What was the secret?
Well, I think that's a tremendous amount of credit needs to go to Wayne Kittrell, our defensive line coach, and Wade Roberts helped with the secondary. We were playing nine men on the line of scrimmage most of the time until we got ahead. I think the second half we started dropping some guys back when we knew they had to throw. But I said in the pregame, we're going to come up and we're going to keep adding guys to the line of scrimmage until they show they can throw the football. And that has to, you can't block them all. And like I say, there's no question that's a fine running back. I think two things, we just were able to overload, and of course that credit needs to go to secondary guys that can cover, and I think we did that well in the first half, and especially in the first quarter, and then that enables you to load up and keep loading up guys on the line of scrimmage, and it's pretty tough to run.
The break came in the drive. Wilson Kavaka gets a draw play, and the draw play worked for you today.
Well, it really did. And again, that goes back to being able to throw the ball. We came out, I think, the first three plays we ran were passes, completed them all, moved right down the field. And, that gets them thinking pass, and then all of a sudden you're hitting up with a fullback or doing some things. And it really was those are the things that enable you to get in the flow of the game. And it all came about by our ability to throw the football.
13-0 by the end of three quarters. What's your stomach telling you at that point?
I felt pretty comfortable. I really did. I felt like, when it was 10, I told our guys at halftime, I can't imagine anybody spotting us 10 points for 30 minutes and that we can't win. If we'll go out and execute and play it. And we were trying to play field position. We were trying to play, we went for it early on fourth down. I'm getting crazy as I get older. My hell, I think it was fourth and about five. I was wondering. I was booing the coach for trying out loud. But that's how we got here. We tried to make something happen. Didn't work. But we were, 10-0. I felt pretty comfortable because I felt like we'd get some more points on the board, at least one touch. And I didn't think the way things were going, if we were playing hard enough, that they could come back. And so, really, at that point, I felt much better in the third quarter than I did in the first, when we got right down there and nothing happened, and they got right down there, and we were very fortunate. I think they missed that field goal. But I felt much better as the game wore on.
Your kicking game was interesting today. Jared Santor misses a field goal, misses a point after, ricochets in a point after, and then drills a couple of field goals. It really gave you the cushion.
Really did. The big kicks... early field goal we missed it. I don't know if they had. I have to look at the film. They got some big guys and they're getting good surge up the middle. And then Mark Peterson runs one in for two on a blocked field goal. So, some strange plays. But the kicking game, I think, it was good to see the second one go through because that could be a momentum swinger there. And we got that one 3-0, and then we got the one to make it 13. I felt pretty good. And I thought we contained. I was really worried about their kick return guys. And I thought we did an excellent job picking the sides of the field there in the fourth quarter. He was having to field the punch and kickoffs with the sun in his eyes, and that might have been a little home course advantage.
The kicking game, otherwise, punting-wise, they get a booming punt away and then back-to-back four punts, one of which it looked like you got a hand on. Jody Cox consistently, and he got stronger as the day went on.
Well, Jody's been great for us for 2 years, and the second-team all-region guy, and Jared's been the first-team guy, and Jim Sprague did block that one punt. But we were pressuring him all day, and he was kicking kind of nervous. We were close early, caused a couple of bad punts, which gave us great field position, and then we were able to capitalize on.
It was fascinating to watch this one today and see Dixie just continue to grind it out. The kicking game, the two bad punts, you score on immediately, and that gives you the real cushion.
Yeah, and that, I think maybe the fans have heard me say before, you break a game down into three parts, kicking, offense, defense. You feel like you have to win at least two of those phases, and I think probably today we won all three, but defensively you certainly can't argue because there's a shutout, and a kicking game is, should merit 1/3 of your time in practice, and it's something that plays that big a role, and we're fortunate that we were able to, I thought our cover guys did well, and we did a good job. We played a near-perfect football game.
Have you had a chance to visit very much at all with John Anselmo after?
No, not after. And he just said, that's a heck of a football team. And I told our guys, in my heart, I think this is a team that should have been a national championship or at least playing in one. Some of the things that happened, they continue to improve all year. They just deserve a tremendous amount of credit. And I can only tell you that, there's a lot of class kids out there. It's unfortunate we get letters and different things happen. But, I think it's important that people realize the kind of character sometimes we had. We had a youngster find the wallet with $1,700 in it and return it last week. And unfortunately, nobody cares about those kind of stories. You won't see that in the paper, but that's the kind of kid, that's the kind of kids we have in our program. I'm proud of them. I'll stand up for them from now till who knows when. But, you need to check your whole card to see if you turn back $1,700. And that's a real compliment to him, and I think to the class of kid that we deal with, and I just couldn't be prouder.
End of another tough year. You finish with a 9-2 record. Have to be pleased, even though disappointed about the two losses. Have to be pleased. Another excellent season. What do you do for an encore?
Don't look back. They may be gaining on you. You just can't worry about it. I think now it's time to enjoy. I guess as long as I can. I've got about 40 recruits here for dinner tonight. You just have to reload, and that seemed like we've been able to do that. And the work starts now. Really, the more time is spent from now until January on a recruiting trail and trying to make sure if we're going to be successful next year, that will come as a direct result of recruiting right now. We got kids, a lot of kids going on missions. We got sophomores leaving, but we got kids coming off missions, and we have to recruit now. So it's the same old thing, and we got a good nucleus to build with. I don't feel bad about building with Kalen Hall, Jan Brooks, Jeff Lindstrom, Chris Perano, Mark Peter, right on down the line. There's some pretty good freshmen there. I'll be ready to go. I'm going to tell everybody we're 10-1. I don't give a dang what anybody says. We're 10-1 in my eyes, and that's what I'm telling everybody. So, good year, great year. I think I told our kids, and we've talked about it, the things they've had to go through and handle this year, they hold as special a spot in my memory as any team I've coached.
Maybe as many victories off the field as on.
Yeah, really. And that's what it's all about. I really believe that. I think, Rulon said that at the banquet. I think if people have an opportunity to ever have been involved in athletics, they can tell you, if we could have the atmosphere that occur in huddles, we wouldn't have to be worrying about Iraq and Iran. And nobody cares what religion, what color, what, your financial situation is. It's amazing the things that happen in huddles. You all pull together. If we could just bottle that some way, I'll guarantee you we'd have solved a lot of problems. And that's what makes it worthwhile to me.
We talked about the head coach, and we talked about the assistants on the defensive side, Wayne Kittrell, former player here, and Wade Roberts, who did an outstanding job. That offensive side also did a great job for you this year.
Well, like every year. It's easy. I told them when I came here 9 years ago, hey, you guys score 40. I'll find a way to hold them under that as a defensive coach. And you take, I think one of the keys, and I think John Anselmo said it, they've got guys 20, 22, 18-year assistants. We've been very fortunate to have some continuity in our program. I don't even mess with the offense. One of the officials said, what play is this we call a play? And it sounded a little tricky. And he asked me what play. I said, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have a clue where it's going. And that's right. I turn it over to Gordon and Kelly and Pete, and they do their thing, and they do a tremendous job. And, boy, you just can't. I think that's as good a coaching job as I've been involved with. All those freshmen on that offense, and from where we started September whenever down in Thatcher to where we are today, that's an incredible coaching job.
I know Gordon Jolly lost a little hair, added a few more grays when he looked at all those freshmen on the offensive line at the beginning of the year.
Well, without any question, and he just does such a super job, and I say it all the time, and I truly mean it, there's not a better, I don't think, offensive line coach in the country. And at this level, and I don't think there's a heck of a lot of them around the country. He's very knowledgeable. He works extremely hard. The kids respect him, and he's as loyal as the day is long, and you just can't find a better guy. I keep thinking every year that's the last year he'll be here. Somebody's going to hire him, but a selfish standpoint, I hope that doesn't happen right away. But what a great job he does. And then Kelly comes in. I think this is his, I don't know how many, third year, maybe second, I don't know. And Pete's been here one more than Gordon, and I'm not even sure how long I've been here. But but I'm thankful to be here. I thought it was a great crowd, a great show again by the Rotary Club, and what a great way for me to end, because now I'll remember this one all the way through until next September.
You'd like to try it again?
Yeah, you bet. I appreciate you guys, the station, Larry, and you in particular, the sponsors and everybody involved. I'll tell you, it's been a real great feeling for me to know the support and the kind of job you people do. I'm ready. I'm going to enjoy this one now for a while. I'm not quite ready yet, but I think by the time it rolls around again, I'll be ready to go.
How do you want to celebrate, Mark? What about you, Lacey? Come here. This is Lacey Croshaw, the artist of the family. How are you going to celebrate tonight?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Milkshakes all around, right, Coach?
Pies.
Okay. Pies all around tonight. The victory pies tonight. Maybe even put a little candle in it, right, Lacey?
Yeah.
Okay. Coach Greg Croshaw, this has been a delightful year in many ways, even though there's some heartbreak with it. Great to see the kids respond to this. Congratulations on a 34-0 victory over one of the finest teams in the country.
Well, thank you, Larry. Like I say, a tremendous thanks goes to you and all the hard work. And I'm sure the people, again, understand what you go through. I mean, they ought to come sit on that bus one time down to Thatcher or Yuma or wherever it is and, you know, head back the road with you reading off your stats, giving me stats, and eating cold cheeseburgers by the time we get through with the, you know, the interviews. But, you know, personally, I wouldn't change a thing, and I really appreciate all the hard work and the efforts. And, you know, good luck to Dave Rose now on the basketball team. I think he's got an exciting group, and people need to get out and support him. And thanks to everybody involved. And, hey, we'll give her a try next year.
Victorious Coach Greg Croshaw, congratulations once again. Dixie Rotary Bowl 5th Annual has come to an end. Brian Benware, some comments. Less than 100 yards allowed by Nassau, allowed to Nassau in the first half. Although they were doing a great job on Dixie, that's a little tough to overcome.
Yeah, and I'm sure they were just totally frustrated the whole game. And that's what you could see on their faces after the game. They just knew that they'd been up against a great team, and the Rebels dominated the whole game defensively. And that's really where they won the game today.
34-0 the final. We appreciate, wow, it's been quite a game. We appreciate Sherry Morrison has kept us on the air back at the station. A reminder, we still have more action tonight. On our sister station, Sunny 93, 6:30 tonight, we'll have BYU versus Utah State in basketball action. On KDXU, coming up in just a little while, 6:15 tonight. It's actually half an hour earlier than we were talking before. They've moved up the game. 6:15 tonight, Dixie College versus Midland. And after that heartbreaking loss last night to Odessa, this is going to be a time when the Running Rebels basketball team is going to want to come together. 6:15 tonight, and then at 9:30 tonight, be listening pregame show, BYU at Hawaii. Sherry, I don't know if you have any messages back at the station. Has the Heisman Trophy been announced yet?
No, not that I'm aware of. I keep watching out for it.
Okay. Well, we may have Ty Detmer, Heisman Trophy winner, or at least finalist, will be tonight, 9:30 tonight. BYU versus Hawaii right here on KDXU. Our next Dixie College football game next season. So stay tuned. It's going to be fun. Dixie finishes officially with a 9-2 record on the year. Nassau Community College finishes officially with a 9-2 record on the year. The final polls will be coming out after tomorrow's game when Coffeyville takes on Montgomery College of Maryland for the national championship in the Mid-American Bowl. How Dixie will finish, speculation maybe is another third place finish. Nassau deserves to be ranked in the top 10 in spite of the 34-0 loss today. Outstanding team that just came up against a tough defensive squad today. We appreciate our sponsors for their support of Dixie College football and for the 5th annual Dixie Rotary Bowl this day. We appreciate you for listening. Thank you for being with us. Remember, we have the action later tonight right here on KDXU. Till we hear from each other again, take care now. You hear final score 34-0. Larry Jewell saying bye.
And one.